how we need him every hour. You noticed by the bulletin today, I titled my message, God's Power Over Death. My prayer today is that you may be struggling because you've lost a loved one, maybe because you are feeling alone. My prayer is that this message today will bless you and touch you in a way that will move you in a whole new way. And maybe it's just that God has something to encourage you with today. The gospel text today comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 11. We're going to be talking about the resurrection of Lazarus. John chapter 11, verses 30 through 45. I'm going to ask you to stand for the reading of God's word if you're able to. If you're not able to stand, don't ever feel that you're obligated to do that. But it's to me, it's just a respect for God's word. John 11, beginning at verse 30, in Jesus' name. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. Then the Jews who were with her in the house and consoling her, when they saw that Mary got up quickly and went out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Therefore, when Mary came where Jesus was, she saw him. She fell at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and was troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. So the Jews were saying, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind have kept this man also from dying?" So Jesus again, being deeply moved within, came to the tomb. Now it was a cave, and a stone was laying against it. And Jesus said, "Remove the stone." Martha, the sister of the deceased, said to him, "Lord, by this time there will be a stench, for he has been dead 4 days." And Jesus said to her, "Did I not say to you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they removed the stone, and then Jesus raised his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always heard me, but because of the people standing around, I said it so that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And the man who had died came forth bound hand and foot with wrappings, and his face was wrapped around with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Therefore, many of the Jews who came to Mary and saw what he had done believed in him. Lord, today just open up this portion of Scripture. Reveal the deep meaning that the scratching of the surface that we're going to do today will really, truly only invite your people to dig deeper, to understand your word in a way that is far deeper with greater love than that. In thy name we pray. Amen. God's power over death. When Mary heard that Jesus wanted her, she responded quickly with great hope and with great excitement. Mary went to Jesus. When you and I get a message that Jesus wants us to come, do you respond quickly? It doesn't matter where the message comes from. If it comes from the pastor, from the pulpit, and you all of a sudden know that you need to come, or if it comes from a friend, or if it comes when you are quietly sitting and listening to that still small voice time and time again, God calls us in unique ways. Are you listening? Martha came and gave her sister Mary the message that Jesus wanted to see her. But what about you? Are you listening for that voice? Are you ready to respond when he calls? Mary didn't even think about it. She got up and quickly left. She didn't worry about the distance that she had to travel to Jesus because Jesus was where Martha had left him. Her concern was that Jesus was calling her. For those of you who are lost, unsaved, you need to respond as Mary did. The next time that the Spirit calls you, if you have not turned your life over to Him, so many people in our world today do not know who Jesus Christ is. They know the name of Jesus, but they do not know him personally. They use his name without any reverence every day, calling condemnation down on themselves. Our greatest need is knowing Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. There is the greatest need that every human being has. And yet we try to fill that need with so many other things, with so much loneliness, with alcohol, drugs. The list could go on. We try to fill that void with the wrong thing. Service after worship service. People hear the call upon their heart to come to know him. And yet so many harden their heart and do not respond. They're not interested in anything but themselves. But when the mourners saw that Mary got up to leave, they followed her thinking she was going to the tomb, and they knew they needed to come and comfort her. Another need that we as humans need is to be comforted by God's people. How many times have you reached out, as a child of God, reached out to somebody that was suffering, that might have been even in mourning? Have you reached out and touched them? Even sometimes just a touch on the shoulder. Sometimes it's a hug or a handshake. Just the feel of another human being does things. And I know this church does that, because there was two churches that reach out to us, to Sharon and I and my family in June. When Sharon was in the hospital, people cared. People were praying. And it was knowing that somebody cares. That's what people have a need for when they are to be comforted, is they have a need of wanting to know that someone cares. The crowd was brought face to face with Jesus Christ that day because they followed Mary. They were so set upon comforting Mary that they did not realize they were going to come face to face with Jesus that day. How many people come to a funeral with the idea of offering support to a family, reaching out to comfort them, and then they end up face to face with Jesus? Because the pastor was not afraid to preach and share a gospel message. They got a chance to come face to face to him. They had an opportunity to see Jesus Christ. You never know when God is going to use you in bringing someone to Jesus Christ, his Son. Are you ready to be used by God the Father? Many people have come to faith in Jesus Christ because they came to comfort someone who was mourning. As we mourn, one of the things that we often do is we watch, how is that other person handling loss? How many times have you had people look at you because you've lost a loved one? One of the greatest dangers of Christian people is that as a couple, they have come to church faithfully. They have worshiped and done their part in church, and one of them, the Lord takes home and leaves the other one, and that person pulls out of the church, pulls away from the family of God, the comfort, the encouragement they need. I've seen it happen time and time again. When we are suffering the most power that we need is God's power and God's people to come around us and to comfort us. That comfort and that joy that we can receive in Christ is something that cannot be easily explained until you've experienced it. And then once you've experienced it, it's like it bubbles over. And you want to share that comfort and that joy with others. And oftentimes, as people come to me and ask for help, I say, let's pray. Because oftentimes I feel like I'm so inadequate, I don't have the answers, but I believe that God does. And God can give us those answers. But it's the prayer that holds it up. But the results of a sincere comfort and a sincere help does not go unnoticed by Christ or by other people. Other people will notice if you are reaching out with comfort and tenderness to someone. Many people come to Christ because they've been comforted by a Christian. They've come to know him personally because someone has cared. Another need that as Christians we have is a need to confess our faith. Even if your faith is weak, even if your faith is limited, Mary, as soon as she saw Jesus, what did she do? She fell at his feet and worshiped him. When is the last time that you have fallen at the feet of Jesus and worshiped him? When is the last time you've truly poured out your heart to him? There's an awesome, a holiness of God when we come to him, and we have lost some of that. Because our society, we have been so blessed, we have lost that awesomeness of coming to him, that we need to fall on our face before him because we cannot look at his face. It is the same for God, that he cannot look at us until we put Jesus Christ on, and we cannot look at God the Father until we put Jesus Christ on. It's until we come to that point before we can see God and God can see us. as righteous people. We need to confess. We need to let him know. We need to be like Mary, who calls him Lord. Mary's confession really was quite limited. Her confession was filled with some complaining. It was some of the same complaining that Martha had done earlier in the chapter. But our need to confess our need to the Lord is felt by every person. We all have that need to confess. We need to confess so that we can begin to grow and walk closer with our Lord and Savior. Another need that we have in understanding the compassion of Jesus Christ. Do you truly understand his compassion? How many of you have felt Christ's compassion? Have you ever felt his Spirit move on a Sunday morning worship service? Have you ever felt that things all of a sudden, kind of a whole different feeling as you came through? As you sat in that pew and as you heard that hymn being sung, or maybe it was one of the confessions, or maybe it was something that was spoken by a pastor one time, or maybe it was when God's word was read, how his Spirit moved upon you. Well, Mary's confession moved Christ's Spirit, and it moved it to the point that he had compassion on her. So when you feel his Spirit moving amongst us, when you feel his compassion, you know it's because the Spirit of Jesus Christ has been moved deeply. There's a change that's coming. Mary was very sincere in her sorrow, just as you have been and those that have lost their loved ones. Christ touched Mary's need as Christ has touched your need. Many of you have shared some of your experience of losing your loved ones. It's not easy. But yet, God was there for you. Christ asked the question, where is the tomb of my friend Lazarus? Now, there's two reasons why Jesus took and asked this, because Jesus already knew where the tomb was. He didn't need to be told. But he asked because he didn't want anybody to charge him and Lazarus with trying to trick them, to come up with something that said that this was all just a hoax. The second reason was that he wanted to distract the crowd from their mourning. He wanted them to anticipate, to arouse their expectations that something was going to great, that was going to happen. And yet, when Jesus arrived at the tomb, Jesus wept in love. Why? Because of deep love. Love for Lazarus, love for the human race. But Jesus was weeping because of death upon the human race. He was weeping over man's pain when it comes to death. He was weeping over the sorrow and the suffering that we go through in death. Because man was not made for sin and death. Not originally we weren't. Man was made for righteousness. Man was made for life. And as Jesus looks at this tomb, Excuse me. When he looks at the tomb, what Jesus sees is sin. Jesus sees his death. And he sees the deceit that Satan has laid out, the lie that he has told. Jesus sees the hurt. And Jesus sees that mankind is separated from the love of God. Christ was deeply moved by all of this, and he wept. He wept for you and I. Man misunderstands Christ. We keep asking the same questions generation after generation. We ask the question, how could Christ love so much and let this tragedy happen? Have you ever asked that question? Well, the problem here is not Jesus. The problem is people do not understand the nature of this world. This world is made up of decay and corruption. The nature of this world is trial and troubles. How many of you go through trials and troubles in your life? Every person, yeah, right. Maybe we should be raising both hands, right? We go through that in our lives, don't we? How about suffering? How about pain? How many of us have gone through death and hell? All of this is because of selfishness and sin. It all becomes a me society. It's all about me. And we begin to forget about everyone else. We forget about the compassion that Jesus Christ wants us to show. People just don't understand Christ and what he wanted for us. People do not understand that the trials, the sickness that we go through in this life is an opportunity for God to do such great work in our lives and that we can be a witness to someone else. When Christ really gives us hope when he conquered death. His power over death should give you and I great comfort. It should give you and I, as a Christian, peace and joy, because when Jesus Christ confronts the tomb of Lazarus, he conquered that tomb. He demonstrated this great power, and every believer should have the hope in the resurrection that our hope is not in vain. Because of his power over death. The believer will be raised from the dead, resurrected by that great shout from the Lord's power. He's going to call us out. So as Jesus stood before the grave of Lazarus, he remembers the pain, the anguish, the sorrow that both Mary and Martha were feeling. Jesus had the same emotions, the same flesh that you and I have. The one difference that we have to remember is he was without sin. Jesus' body tired. Scripture tells us he had to go rest. Jesus sensed the terrible dread, the bondage that death held the human race in. And Jesus knew that his own death was coming soon. An unbeliever might question, well, was Lazarus truly dead or was he just critically ill? But Scripture tells us that he was truly dead, that he was in the tomb. It wasn't that he was just critically ill and they couldn't tell the difference and they buried him and he died while in the tomb because he didn't get any food or water for 4 days. But listen to Martha. She was shocked that Jesus wanted the stone removed. She was worried about the stench because when we die, once we die, once that life, as we know what life is, leaves our body begins to decay. Martha was worried that the body was going to be decayed and have such a stench. So as a believer, Martha is objecting to Christ. She's confronting Christ on this situation. In her objection, we see distrust in Martha. We see an uneasiness in her. Martha didn't feel that Christ's actions were for the best. Martha was uneasy about what Christ was asking them to do when removing that stone. Martha didn't want the situation disturbed. Martha was satisfied with the way things were. Lazarus had already been laid to rest. What Martha wanted was to be comforted, but Martha didn't want to be disturbed. I truly believe that this describes a lot of believers today. They want to come in and sit down in a comfortable church, in a comfortable pew. They want the pastor to get up and preach, but pastor, tickle my ears. Don't convict me, pastor. Don't preach at me. And don't tell me that I have sin. That's what's happening in our churches today. When I was called by this church to come and preach, to become your pastor, one of the things that they wanted more than anything else was that I was going to preach from God's word and stand on God's word. And we'll want God's word to do its work. People oftentimes get so they're happy with the way things are. They don't want something different. They want Christ to give them comfort. They want Christ to give them security and Christ to give them ease. It does not say in Scripture that God's going to give us a rose garden without thorns. They want little to do with Christ and his demands of being confronted, his demands and his confronting us on our sin. We don't want that. But Martha gets confronted by Jesus Christ. And Martha has to take a very big leap in her faith. Because Christ wants Martha to quit complaining. He wants Martha to set her objections apart. He wants Martha to trust him. He wants her to quit questioning what he wants her to do. But doesn't that sound like a lot of people today that we want to question what God wants for us in our lives, what he's doing? God wants for Martha. He wants for the rest of us. He wants us to rest in his arms, to place our unlimited faith in him alone. The promise that Martha and the rest of us has is that if we believe, and we simply rest in him, we will see the glory of God. When Christ is speaking of the glory of God, he is speaking of the mercy of God. He is speaking of the power of God. And he's also speaking of the love of God for each and every one of God's children. But this promise does not apply only to this world. It applies to the next as well. The people will need to step back. They need to let God act as in his will for each one of us. And when that person or persons truly begin to rest in God's arms, that's when we're going to get to see the glory of God. We'll get to see it in this world and in the next. As Christ prayed that day before he called forth Lazarus, it was a prayer of purpose, a prayer of great power. Every prayer that you and I offer to God needs to have a purpose. Christ prayed that he could demonstrate his power that day. You know, when we pray with a purpose, we're going to receive an answer. But guess what? We're not going to receive the answer that you and I always want. We're going to receive an answer that's better. It's always better. The answer to our prayers is always better than we can expect. He's always there to comfort us. God's power over death is seen in this prayer. His prayer really had five little things that he was praying about. The first one was that his prayer was to honor and worship God the Father. Second one was to secure what is necessary to live righteously and to minister those around. And then the third one is to praise our God, to thank God our Father. And then it was to prove and to demonstrate one's confidence in God the Father. And the fifth part of that prayer was to bear testimony and to proclaim that Jesus Christ was the one that was sent by God. His prayer was very short in Scripture, but it said a lot. There is power in prayer. How many times have we heard there's power in prayer and yet we don't pray? We decide, we'll let the pastor do that. We'll let the deacons take care of that. When believers begin to pray with a purpose, God answers that prayer. And by doing so, he proclaims that Jesus Christ is his son, the one who was sent into this world to take and open the door between man and God, that we can enter in to the holiness of that. God proclaimed that through Jesus Christ, we, as his children, can have power over death. It's not just God's power, but God has given you and I, as children of his, have power over it. How can we do that, do you say? Look at the resurrection of Lazarus. It's a picture of the coming of the resurrection of all believers. Being called out of the grave, Christ's power over death can do that. He alone has that power to raise us from the dead. He has the power over death. And he simply speaks in a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus is alive. Notice that Christ used Lazarus' name when he called him out of the grave. Christ knows every one of your names. As a child of his, he's going to call you by name out of your grave. Are you ready for that? Because the grave is not the end for believers, but it's rather just a place of rest. And that power that Jesus Christ has over death should speak volumes to each and every one of us today. The reaction to Christ's great power over death once again divided people. Some believed and they put their faith in Jesus Christ and they accepted him as their personal Savior. Others gripped with unbelief. They caused trouble. They refused to accept Jesus Christ as the Son of God despite the most powerful evidence setting there before them. They ignored the evidence. They evaded the issue. They lost an opportunity to see the glory. And they lost an opportunity to see the power of God at work. All because they decided not to believe. Where are you at today? Jesus is calling. Are you going to answer? Are you going to give him your heart? Amen. Lord, today again, we just thank you for the wonder of your word. Lord, knowing that one day, as children of yours, we're going to get to see the glory of it all. Lord, we just pray that you will convict those that do not know, then those that do know, Lord, that they will have a deeper conviction. Lord, that our faith will grow and that we will stand on your word. In thy name we pray. Amen.